Blog Talk Radio.
You can take it.
Oh, I just love me some Air Supply. I really love Air Supply. Welcome to Down the Tube, Really Random Stuff with Miss Darkholm. Brought to you by A Team of Voices, a poetry group on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And I always like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for all they do, keeping this site up and running, giving us a place to read and share our poetry. And, of course, a special thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page so that we can share our poetry live. I am your host, Sky, and tonight, as the title says, we will be speaking about really random stuff. I have three prompts, although sometimes we go in many different directions, which is totally okay. And we have some poems inspired by those prompts. And we're going to have a great night. So I'll bring out the prompts a little bit later as we're talking about them, like I always do. And we already have some callers. One of them got here before me, and I'm usually pretty early. So I do want to say hello to Sweet. Hello, Sweet.
Hello. Hello, hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. How's everybody else?
Good. I am good. Did you like that Air Supply?
I do love me an Air Supply.
Oh, me too. I am going to talk about them in a minute as soon as I let you guys on. I want to let you guys nice and early on today. And we do have, I have his name is Argo in the studio because I've been reading so much Argo lately. But hello, Steven.
Hello. Yeah, I like Air Supply
too.
You? Especially when I breathe. I'm good.
When you what? When you what?
When I breathe, Air Supply rocks.
Oh. yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want to let you guys know that Air Supply is an Australian-English soft rock duo consisting of an English-born singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Graham Russell, and Australian lead vocalist, Russell Hitchcock. They had a succession of hits worldwide, including 8 top 10 hits in the United States in the early 1980s. They formed in 1975 and have included various accompanying musicians and singers. The Australian Recording Industry Association inducted Air Supply into the Hall of Fame, oh my goodness, on December 1st, 2013. They have lots of great songs. I was going to open and close with them, but as much as I love them and do like all their songs, whenever I listen to this specific song, I always have to listen to a song right behind it, and I'll tell you guys what song that is later tonight when I close, because I just want to keep you in suspense. And we also have in this studio, Miss Deborah Lee.
Hello.
Hello. How are you guys?
How's everyone?
I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there. Just a little bit excited because Pat Benton is finally nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yay! Because what?
Right?
I missed it. Because what?
Benatar is finally nominated
for
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
What's so funny? Is I almost brought her. I really almost brought her. She was almost my other one tonight.
Huh.
She was almost my other one.
That's funny. I think there's only one in the studio at the moment, but I'm fixing to do something about
it. I even downloaded it because I was like, I think I want this one, but then I changed it last minute. But I was looking at We Belong.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. You go first.
Well, it's not on subject. It's just enthusiasm. But Dolly Parton and Carly Simon are nominated. Lionel Richie, Duran Duran, Eminem, Beck, A Tribe Called Quest.
Oh.
So, like,
cool.
My fingers are so crossed.
You didn't get the one.
And Stephen 76. Did I forget to mention that one?
And Stephen 76.
Yeah.
I don't believe that one. I don't believe that one. Maybe Argo. But I don't know about Stephen 76.
Well, I have to say, I have no idea who A Tribe Called Quest is, but good for them. I think I knew everybody else. But, yeah.
Well, I'm loving that sunglass toddler dancing around on the gift board. Oh my goodness. She looks like she's really having fun. So what are you guys, how are you guys time doing? What are we, how are you, sweet, how are you for time?
You have me for about as long as I can stay. How's that? But it'll be a little over an hour.
Okay. All right. You sound like me. You have me for whenever I hang up. And Stephen, how long do I have you for?
You have me for my poem and then one other, and then I've got to go.
Okay. And Miss Deborah Lee?
An hour or two.
An hour or two. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to drop Deb because she's quite not ready yet. Not quite ready yet. I swear I can speak in full sentences. All right.
I don't know if I should read in front of Sweet. Just saying. Food for thought.
Why?
She's not very fond of one of the critters.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I get it. I'm all right. I'm prepared.
Oh, I see. I didn't even think of that. I forgot. Sweet, these aren't regular ones. These are huge ones. All right. So
I'm aware. All right. I read about it. I know what prompt it is. We're good.
Well, the first, so Stephen wrote to the banyan tree, which actually it was raconteur. I was on the phone with Rack and I was like, I really want to do a tree prompt. I need some more trees. I just want to do a tribute to one tree. And I'm looking all over the place and I'm like thinking maybe the monkey tree. And then he was like, you should do the banyan tree. So I did do that as per his suggestion, and I absolutely love it. It's a beautiful, beautiful tree. It's the national tree of India, so its name has been generalized to denominate all figs that share a common life cycle and use systematically in taxonomy and denominate the subgenus and Eurystigma. I hope I say that right. But we're still going to call it a banyan tree for, you know, namesake. So as per always, Stephen, you, before you read, you can either A, talk about anything you learned if you want to or you found cool or that inspired you before or after your poem or not at all. So it's your pick. or you can talk about any other prompts that you found cool too afterwards. While you have the floor. So up to you. You have the floor. Take the mic.
Okay. Well, the first thing I have to tell Sweet Pea is that Kay and I on Sunday had Slumgullion for dinner. So there you go. Thanks for the poem, Sweet.
Yay! That's awesome.
What's up? Did I miss something?
Kay, Sweet wrote a poem. More about Slumgullion.
Actually, you missed their show. Was it the food show?
I missed every show. I missed every show for the past two weeks. Okay, I'm not going to lie.
Well,
I'm getting back into it this week. Starting tomorrow, I'm getting back into it. Funny gal. All right, go ahead, Steven. Sorry.
The banyan tree, the one thing, and I'm not sure, maybe I misunderstood it, I'm not sure, but what I read about it in one spot said that it starts its growth cycle with the help of another tree, where it actually almost like sounds like it plants itself in the other tree and then starts to grow. So that's kind of what inspired my little poem here, is I call this, Where Have All the Entwives Gone? The center of every banyan tree is the ardor of an entwife longing to be free. In life, a parasitic banyan seed hid under bark as thick sap bleeds. From entwife's own breast, a living prison grew as banyan branches seedlings threw, breathing bars of green holding true, blocking sun from entwife leaves that drooped. Ringing shouts from her annual tree ring rage, but constriction cut off breath and age, dying inside a tightening biotic cage while juddering brittle roots drage. Treebeard will search, but he'll not know just where did all the entwives go. He'll scratch his crown, and he'll fail to see, and he'll weep and lean against the banyan tree. End poem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this baby. I love this. So first, yes, in the banyan tree envelopes its host tree. The mesh of roots growing around the latter eventually applies considerable pressure to the commonly kills it. Such an enveloped dead tree eventually decomposes, so the banyan tree becomes a column tree with a hollow center core. So you are correct in what you understood of that. And as for your poem, I love this. And for all you guys who don't read Lord of the Rings, Entwives and Treebeard, this is all a little sachet nod to J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings and the Entwives, and which I really loved. If you guys remember when I did my Lord of the Rings series, one of my favorite characters was Treebeard, and the entire idea of his story and the Ent story. So thank you so much for not only bringing a banyan tree, but bringing a fandom that I absolutely love, but reinventing it and bringing the emotion to life. I love how you say, you know, bring in the Entwives in the beginning, and you actually say through much better than I think of my description of what I just said about it, you know, consuming it and it's decomposing. But you say it in a different way. You say that this is what happened to the Entwives. The banyan tree kind of took them over, and the Entwives slowly decayed and became that hollow core. And the idea of the Ent of Treebeard kind of leaning against those banyan trees, weeping and saying, you know, because basically they've consumed them, consumed the Entwives, and they've now just decayed. It's actually very tragic, Stephen, but very, very beautiful. And, you know, this has been a question for a long time. Where are the Entwives? And now we finally know. I mean, this is a great piece of fandom, very creative, and it's just engineered very, very creatively. I probably never would have gone there, and I'm a huge fan of twisting literature that I know and fandom universes that I know, but I didn't even think of that. I thank you so much. This is quite brilliant and written really well. And this is my favorite part. Well, actually, the descriptions of how the rhyming, the wriggling shouts of her annual tree ring rage, but the constriction, that process of it being the strangling of life, like the other tree does as the banyan tree. But my favorite part is down here where it just simply says, Treebeard will search, but he'll not know where did all the Entwives go. And then he'll scratch his own crown and he'll fail to see, and he'll weep and lean against the banyan tree. That is my favorite stanza. I love the rich descriptions above it. But lyrically and just, it kind of rips my heart out a little bit. Too bad we didn't have that Kali Mall clip here, huh? Excellently done. You're welcome. Who's here? I'm way too invested in this poem. I totally lost myself. Sweet. What did you think?
Well, I really like the whole kind of dark twist of putting it in, like, cannibalism, like, you know, it eating upon itself and just kind of growing back. I like the twist of that. It's kind of dark and kind of cool. So I like the way you spun that and the language you spun it in, because it really kind of tells its story of just kind of growing and creeping and growing and creeping, and which is how they become one of the largest trees that there are. You know, I'm doing the poem on the banyan tree myself, and there's one tree that holds like close to 20,000 people underneath it, or 20,000 type of, it's just so huge, like 4.7 acres or something like that. But it provides massive amounts of shade, and it's just crazy. Where is that at? It's in Andorra, Pradesh. It covers 1.9 or 4.7 acres and can shelter 20,000 people. It's just fascinating to me. Yeah, it's nuts. It just keeps growing and growing, and it just constantly keeps coming up with more and more of itself. So, yeah, it's like some weird supernatural thing.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Sweet. And Deb?
Well, for starters, did you say Lord of Rings? What was it that you said that Treebeard was from when you were saying your comments, Guy?
Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
The story behind it is the Treebeard is a male tree, but the lore in the story is that all the Entwives went missing. The Entwives meaning the woman of Ents. So they can't ever reproduce, and though they live for a long time, they're dying off, because the Entwives have gone missing, and no one knows what happened to them. So he leapt from that idea and that lore.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I don't know the Lord of the Rings story, because I have seen part of one of them somewhere. But for me, I took it as its own entity. I didn't have that to draw back on. With that being said, it was like this brilliant little story wrapped up in these trees, and he did it in four stanzas, and he got a 10 for it. And the details, the keep me on the edge, waiting to find out what happened next, was really, really awesome. So it spoke without any of the context. And then when you said your poem, I was like, oh, wow. So it's like the next chapter or, you know, one of the segments from it. So, Stephen, I think that you did really awesome. And like I said, you made a story for me that I took all on its own. And congrats.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you.
Stephen.
I put an ant on the board so we can see what it looks like.
Ooh. There he is. I love the ant song so much. I just love that music so much. Brilliantly. I am so excited. Do you remember the poem? You probably don't, Deb, but I wrote a poem for your one of your Monday night prompts, and it was called Something the Auberon, and it was kind of stemmed from the idea of Ents and tree-like folk. This is brilliant, Stephen. I'm very excited the direction you took. Thank you. And I know you're going to stay for one more, but before we do that, could you tell us what's going on over at a Poetic Spice?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's see, our next couple of shows tomorrow night is our monthly visit with Agnes Cecil at the Poetic Inklings. Kayfabe, a lot more awesome paintings from Agnes Cecil to write to. Go over there, check them out. That show starts at 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow evening, and on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we're going to celebrate Vince Neil's birthday, and we're going to listen to Motley Crue. We'll learn about those Motley Crue songs and read some poetry inspired by those songs.
Awesome. And what about Friday?
Friday is something different with a request at 8 p.m. Eastern. And it is open brevity this week, 100 words or less.
Awesome. Awesome. I was asking you about Friday because I am going to plug my next show, which is Saturday. And 8 p.m., we are going to be celebrating the film, The Black Cauldron. And if any of you guys know, it is a 1985 animation film. The show is going to run much like the Last Unicorn one. There's going to be a little bit more music than normally, than there is normally on my shows. But it's because it's just it has beautiful sachets of music. And this is from a great series. It's 5 books. I have read all the 5 books. My favorite is still The Book of Three, which is the first one. The Black Cauldron is actually the second one in the Paradin series. But what you have to do is you have to, I think it's Alexander Lloyd, and you can go in, and I actually, instead of putting the film quotes this time, I actually put a link for the book quotes. So it's a little bit different. You can still do movie quotes if you want to. But because it is stemmed from a book series that I have enjoyed, I did put that link. So you can write to any of the themes, scenes, characters, quotes. You can go anywhere you want, of course, as always, even if off topic from the fiction itself, because I know that not everybody reads and watches the same things I do. So you guys have a little breathing room, but that's 8 p.m. So. All right. Now, Deb, before we move forward, since we're plugging, do you want to plug before you read your poem?
Tomorrow night is Crystal's show, and it's it's almost Valentine's Day, so whether you celebrate or not, she'd like you to bring a poem about butterflies or about love or combine the two. She goes live at 9 p.m. Eastern. And my sweet has served me. I don't see the board. My sweet, save me.
Sweet on mute. Sweet has dogs tonight. Sweet is, I haven't looked at the calendar, so I don't know what I'm doing. My Wonderland, and if it's not Wonderland, it's going to be Open Poetry. So I'm not sure which week is Wonderland. I don't know if it's this week or next week. I haven't looked. I'm sorry, I've been in Wyoming all week. And I've been in Wyoming since last Friday, so I'm kind of like the.
That's the most important thing to remember.
Right, and 10 o'clock. It's good for me.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I'm doing a show on Thursday at 10 o'clock, and I'll have that up tomorrow morning. So that's where I'm at.
That's perfectly fine. Look forward to it.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks.
All right, Deb, you are. I mean, you could go Friday and Saturday if you want, or you could read your poem. And of course, like I said, you can talk about anything you want before or after.
Okay. Well, on a real quick note, I have to verify Friday, but Saturday at 11 is the show we had to postpone with the duck egg blue was the leftover prompt. And then other than that, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl that's going to happen. So looking forward to that too. And on your prompt, Skye, your prompts are always cool, and I always have such a hard time picking one. And then sometimes I'll look at the board and see what somebody else wrote and try to pick from one they didn't. But this time, I have to be totally honest, and don't peek yet, wait till you get there, but I had the picture that was at the bottom of this poem. And when I saw your topic, I was like, okay, I'm going there because it may, I get to use this photo. And this poem is called Cameras Eyes by Scarlett's Manicured Hand. And here we go. A big sign now lay face down in vegetation, but was posted so people did not walk into the thick mud pit. The crew of laughing teens knocked down the sign, pounding on the post till the grain in the wood split. Scarlett stood by forest ferns bordering the swamp, scowling out Brazil nut trees for her brownie recipes, and two turtle sunbathes on the bank of the creek, sheltered in thick green leaves from palm trees. She traveled the rainforest edge, wearing a big gin from the sounds of the treetop bird call symphony. As all the parrots and macaws and toucans sing, perched overhead on branches in the tree canopy. Monkey breast vines and coffee plants grow wild in the floodplains dotted with orchids and water lilies. Banana roses and fig trees grow in the mosses. Cacti sprout in the shrubs by the shrub packed with juicy berries. Animals from all around the rainforest eat the fruits. Lightning hits as Scarlett stands without the bird song. 2,500 muscle pounds are spotted, stretched out, and close to half a football field long. The giant snake curls with corkscrew curves. Now Scarlett gasps at the view she sees. She drops the fruit in that basket and runs, but the snake slithers in the ecosystem with ease. It coils and strikes and squeezes. The manicured hand is the last sight the camera lens sees. And pulls.
Now, as a picture taker, I take a lot of pictures. I don't know if I would be in awe and stand there and try to take a picture of that. Brilliant.
Right.
I am going to make a longer comment, but I know that Stephen has to go pretty soon, and I want him to be able to comment before he goes. But oh my goodness, Deb, brilliant, Stephen, what do you think? Stephen,
I was muted too because I've got
like 10 minutes, so. Commenting, you know how I am.
Yeah, just so you know, 3 hours later. I have to go right to the first stanza and say that there are many, many horror movies where it shows that you really need to obey those signs. The one that pops right to my mind is the no swimming sign in Creepshow 2, where all the kids get eaten because they decided to swim anyway. So, yeah, if they would have just listened to the sign instead of being teenagers as they were, because teenagers never listen. The scenery that you describe after that is gorgeous. I love your descriptions, everywhere from the bird calls to the coffee plants and the moss, and it's just awesome. But then you bring in that horrific sight of the Titan boa, and yeah. She gets what she deserves for ignoring the sign. This is really cool.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for calling, Stephen. Oh, excellent comment. And I do see everybody. I like to let everybody on, you know, in, organically. So I just want to say, Deb, this is just brilliant. I love... This is so, like, first of all, you trick us. You trick us, and isn't that the way of it? You know, you say a big sign now lay face down and a vegetarian, but was posted so people do not walk into the thick mud pit. So you give us this little taste of there might be something there, but we don't quite know what it is. And it is much like those, I guess you would say, those old warning signs, those old visuals, those things that we say, well, we see a sign on the floor, but are we going to pick it up and look at it? No, it's no walk over and stroll. And then you're enjoying these beautiful sights and these beautiful scenes in wonderful descriptions, especially this one, a treetop bird calls the symphony, as the parrots and the macaws and the toucans sing, perched overhead on branches on the tree canopies. Love those descriptions. So you kind of are getting us. So there's a little red flag, but then you kind of lure us back in. So all these beautiful images and these things of the forest. And now we're not even on the lookout for anything. And then, bang, there comes a 2,500-muscle-pound spotted, stretched-out snake. Oh, my goodness. And what are we going to do? We're going to be like Sky and try to take a picture of it, right? No, I would not do that. I would be running. Oh, my goodness. And you wrote to the Titanoboa, which is from the big snake from the Devonian period. I don't know why I like the Devonian period. I always end up getting prompts from there. I just really am into it. I have no idea what it is. That's where the big mushrooms came from too. And I think I did another one, but I just love it. I just happen to always be at that period. Which is the period like for dinosaurs, just y'all know. I love that you do this. And if you ever can't decide between different prompts, Deb, sometimes I have a lot less rights on the show. Sometimes I have a lot, sometimes I have less. You're always welcome to bring two if we have the time, because I know that your mind is like, oh, this one's good, this one's good. So you're always welcome to bring two, as is anybody, if we have the time to go through it. Because sometimes the rights are kind of light, and I like to talk about all the prompts. So if we have the time, we'll get it in. If not, I'll read it and still enjoy it just as much. I love this. I love the storytelling. I love the soft allure, and then right at the end, the snap in the hand at the bottom. Now, was that last one, that's the picture you had with the hands coming out of the snake's mouth?
Yeah.
You're like perfect.
I just didn't yeah, right? And I saw, like, now, she's got her French manicure. She looks like she shouldn't have been there to begin with. It was just perfect. She went hunting through all the other ones to sugarcoat it and then get the coil. But
go ahead, I'm sorry.
These guys could stand taller than trees. I mean, picture a football field, and half of it is how long they can grow to. Come on, that's like
these guys can eat the dinosaurs. Let's talk about that.
And I'm not saying taking that damn picture either, because shoot, you swallow that down and come look in the field the other half of his body. I won't be standing there. But it was like I said. As soon as I saw your prompt, that's what I thought of, and I had to go find it in my files because I had no idea where I put it, but I wanted it.
That's so awesome. Absolutely loved it. Let me get you some more. And I just love the camera, and I can't help but think you did it as a little nod because I'm always running around taking camera pictures. Not that I would be that person or I would ever have manicured nails, but still, that's I don't know. Just kind of remind me of it. Sweet. What do you think?
For my host.
I know. Oh, yeah. I know. And it's such a wonderful thing to do. It's smart, too, when you're in contests. Sweet. I know that this is probably giving you hyperventilating panic attacks. But what do you think?
Oh, I'm listening. I haven't even put up that poem. I don't want to look at the pictures. I don't want to do anything. I am visualizing. I am not looking.
Don't look.
I'm not looking. I'm just listening. You gave me enough visualization, but it's hilarious. Because I like to take pictures just like Sky, but I'm not tramping around going to look at pictures of snickies. big snakes, little snake, tiny snake, gigantic, not going to do it. But I thought it was kind of funny. Yeah, I actually thought it was hilarious because, you know, those are stupid people. Even way back then, we had stupid people. It's called, you know, getting rid of society because there are crazy people that just do that. It was like the people nowadays like, oh, lava's coming. Let me get as close as I possibly can. Take a picture of it. And you read about it. Oh, people with a volcano died because they were stopped trying to take pictures of the lava. This would be the headline next. People at the sick pit died because they're trying to take pictures of the gigantic snake. You know, that's just what went through my head. Yeah, this is what dumb people do when crazy things are out there. I just to see somebody doing this. I would not be one of them. I would be like on the other side of wherever they weren't. I would be like under a rock trying to learn how to make fire, what scares them, let's rub these rocks together. Because I would have invented fire, like trying to build something to put keep these things away from me, and all of a sudden the rocks would have burst into fire, and I would be credited for that, trying to keep these things away from me, or credited for building the Great Wall of China or something, because I would have been building something to keep these away from me. Yeah, I loved it. Of course, you're a natural. So very well done. I loved it.
Thank you, too. She was talking faster than I do. You can see the panic. Excellent comment. And thank goodness there were no people around during the time of these things. But there still are really big snakes that can swallow people whole. Actually, I watched this video of someone they wanted to make a suit that you could live inside. Never mind. We won't even talk about that. So, Raconteur. Raconteur. Welcome to Down the Tube. And as you can see, we are getting really random with really random stuff. What did you think about CP's poem? And hello.
That's Deb.
I mean, Deb.
No,
Deb's poem.
That
I know.
Was, that
I'm
was
sorry,
Deb's poem.
I didn't
even have to hear you say that it's Deb's poem to know it was Deb's poem because, you know, first off, CP would never write about snakes. But yeah, I enjoyed that the anything that has to do with like the rainforest and nature and stuff like that. I'm fascinated by stuff like that, and you know you did a great job showing us that a sign actually works better as a sign than a bridge in most instances. So you know the words I guess carry their own weight in a way. But I've always found snakes fascinating. So you know, a giant one is probably a little much, because like Sky was mentioning, you know, they could actually unhinge their jaws to swallow like a cow whole. But you know, they're kind of amazing, you know, it speaks to nature and evolution and whatnot. But yeah, your descriptions of the forest and everything were fantastic. You know, I kind of relate to the snake though. Get off my land.
Right? Yeah. Well, she shouldn't have been there. Thank you, Rack. Awesome comment. Good to hear you.
Oh my goodness. Well, these things were a lot bigger than like your normal garden variety snakes now. 58 to 60 million years ago, like Deb said, throw some football fields on there, and that's what we were looking at. And thank you so much.
That snake was related to Sean Penn, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. And Wayne. Hello, Wayne, and welcome to Down the Tube. Really random stuff.
How y'all doing?
I'm so glad you called. I think you got here right before Deb called, or right before she started reading, not called, rather. Did you get to hear the whole thing?
I didn't hear the whole thing, but it was a great poem she read. I looked over a little bit of it. I was still writing my poem when she was reading hers, so I'm running a bit late tonight. But it's a great read and very poetic, and I looked over it real well. Did a good job with it, Deb. I enjoyed it, and you got the little movies to go with it. Great job on the poem.
Thank you, Wayne. Great comment.
Thank you. And I don't really know what I was saying before, but I'm pretty sure it's a Titan boa. I'm a terrible, terrible reader. And thank you, Deb. Thank you, Deb, so much. I love it. Absolutely love it. And I think we've traumatized Sweet Pea here. But.
She's so afraid of snakes, she won't even wear a boa.
I know. I couldn't.
Yeah, no, I won't.
Snakes won't bother you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, Sweet. I hate to. Now, Deb, was there anything that you want before we go forward, was there anything that you learned about the video that you wanted to share, anything like that, or you can talk about any other part of any of the prompts that you know, anything you want?
No, I think between the comments and stuff, most of the stuff came out, other than the fact that there's a scientist trying to disprove that they would eat the bigger mammals, something about the tooth spread. So but I found it fascinating that they could just swallow a crocodile. And, I mean, 2,500 pounds, I just can't get past that. So it's a really fascinating critter. And I had fun with the poem, but I truly am happy. I've never met one.
All right. Well, I'm glad. And I hate to tell you this, Sweet, but it looks like Wayne wrote to the same prompt.
Oh, lovely.
It ain't too bad. Mine's a little comical.
Who is that?
Wayne.
In fact, I hadn't read it yet. I just wrote it. I hadn't even read the poem yet.
All right, Wayne. So this is the name of the game. While you're here, you could talk about any of the things you learned about the video or anything that inspired you, or you can just read. You know, it's your choice. And
I thought the prompt was wonderful. I thought all three of the prompts was wonderful, and I didn't get to see much of the video because when I sat down tonight, it was 10 minutes of showtime. And I didn't know what the show was about, and so I looked at the prompt and said, I better get busy writing. And so I wrote my poem and got done. I hadn't even really read it yet. I didn't really read it for the first time, and I hope it sounds all right. But if you're ready to hear it, I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Okay.
It's called Volcano, Snake, Tree, and Man. And it goes like this. It was a nice day. Everything was moving slow. I thought I'd walk up to the local volcano. I was rested up because I had plenty of sleep. Noticed the mountainside wasn't very steep. Picked up a wooden plank about 4 foot long. Carried up the mountain while singing a song. Noticed the ground was a soft, smooth brown. I thought I might just slide back to town. Tied a rope on the front end, made it a sled. Thinking, I hope it doesn't flip over and end up dead. Looked like a charm. I could go about 50. Thinking this was an invention that is nifty. Took about 5 minutes or it would seem. When I came to a stop, I was beside a stream. Needed to cross the water and wondered what it would take. That's when I saw a 40-foot snake. The snake was huge. It better weigh a ton. Then I decided I better run. Snake didn't follow. He just didn't care. I think he just didn't care. But when I looked back, I could see him stare. I slowed down when I got to the trees. I had to sit down so my feet could ease. I sat on a tree. It looked like a gel. I think it had figs on it, but I couldn't tell. Was glad to get back to town called Leon. Small place with not many signs of neon. Somebody told me the snake was called a Tabula. So I told him thanks because I didn't know her. Found out the tree was called a Vanna. So it was told to take care of it, and that was my plan. That evening, I sit on the porch and rest the best I can. Thought about the four of us, mountain, tree, snake, and man. Ian?
I love it. Look, you tied in a little bit of the three prompts in here because we just talked about, of course, the banyan tree. And then the third prompt, which no one has hit on yet, is the volcano surfing. And it's just the idea that people like to go volcano surfing and extreme sports. So I like how you took all three and you kind of tied them together. I think it's hilarious how you put in the Tyson Noah Boa, told him thanks because he didn't know us. you were just going to do it. That's brilliant. I don't know. It's fun. It's fun when you start making up words as a poet, and you just, you have no cares. You're just like, I'm going to do this, and that's the way that it's going to be done, and that's my creative style. Brilliant. The storytelling, of course, I have to say, you weren't on the air the other night, but we've dubbed you Serial Killer Wayne, because everybody's always dying in your poems. You're always killing someone off, or doing something, pushing me off a cliff, or whatever, whatnot. And like, I could hear everybody in the line struggling not to laugh at that. It's okay. But this is so, so great and creative. Again, the storyline, how you work in some of the, how you work in this. I could go about 50 feet. This invention that is nifty. There's a sense of humor in it, like you said, too sweet actually at the beginning. Yours is kind of humorous, but it's kind of a little bit scary too when you think about. I'm sorry, my voice is cracking. When you think about a 40-foot snake, like, that's nothing funny about that. But you keep those dark sachets layers in, again, this clever wit and banter and humor and the storyline. This is great. And I love, too, how you brought in the banyan tree. Found out that it was called a banyan. And you bring in all three prompts, which I thought was pretty cool. Really, really well done, Wayne.
Thank you very much.
Again. Oh, my goodness. Sweet Pea, this wasn't so bad. This wasn't scary and dark, and I'm going to, it was okay.
It makes, Wayne makes everything like kisses and roses, and but he cannot do that even here. I'm sorry. It hisses, it barks, it makes me scream. I just squirm. I'm sorry, you guys. Sunshine and roses, and I'm back to building the wall of China. Just get it away. Get it away. No. Sorry. Do you know that there are classes that you can take your dog to and teach your dog to listen for snakes, and they will steer you away from snakes? I bet none of you know that dogs can be trained to listen for different snakes. Whether it's a rattlesnake, any kind, you can actually take your dog to a training class and they will alert you to snakes so you can veer away from the path. Guess what my dog has been trained to do?
Train the snake dog.
Mm-hmm.
What is a snake?
Sweet, is it veer away from snakes?
Yeah, it will take you away from them. They'll sense them or hear them.
No, you said guess what your dog can't do. She was answering your question.
Yeah, it's okay. Oh. It's all right. She's frazzled.
I'm like, oh,
she's frazzled. It's all right. I forgive you. I'm just going to let it go.
I'm trying to finish my poem. You guys keep going. That's enough.
We keep going, snakes. Yeah, so thank you, Sweet. Excellent comment. And did anybody notice how we talked about the banyan tree looking like a jail? Because it kind of does, because when you think about it, the banyan tree, when it wraps around, it hollows out the other tree inside. So it's a hollow base, so it can be. You can kind of shove somebody in there and be a jail. So I think Wayne, you've got something going there, and it's quite true. Ted, what do you think? Nope, Deb dropped. Wayne, it's your poem. Rack, what's going on?
Wayne, it's your poem, by the way.
I don't know what's happening.
Wayne, don't remind me. I
liked it a lot, Wayne. The starting with the surfing, and the tree, and of course ending with the lovely, toilet snake. Yeah, it's a cool write. It was definitely a cool write. And you're right. I believe humans can't eat those. Well, I guess we could eat them, but they're not healthy for us to eat. I know most of the bugs and the flying mammals and things, eat, and the birds that they eat off the banyan tree. Yeah, the individual branches shoot down their own roots. Well, she'll get up to that. Anyway, so that's why it looks like a jail cell. Yeah, it's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, the tree grows in Nicaragua. I think in Nicaragua, in there, a town called Leon. It's where the trees grow, or I think it's where it grows. Anyway, the town Leon has to do something with the trees. And that's what I put Leon in the poem.
It's revered in India, the tree.
Oh, it is in India? I thought maybe a snake is from Leon. When I was reading about it, I only had like 10 minutes to write the poem, so I was trying to read fast and write fast. So, but Leon has something to do with the tree or the snake one. In that little clip that she gave us.
Wayne, you're quite brilliant.
They make a lot of medicines out of that tree, too. There's a lot of things that be healthy for man as far as your skin and it cures diabetes and a whole lot of things that the tree does that's good for mankind.
A lot of remedies. You know, I got to tell you, Wayne, I kudos. My hat's off to you because I could stare at a picture for like 2 hours and like have no – And then it's like 3 hours later while writing. 6 hours pass and I've done one poem and I'm like, what's happening right now? So.
Yeah, I didn't know what the show was about until about 10 minutes to 8. I didn't know what the show was about, so I started writing the 10 minutes to 8.
I do have to tell, like, I get, sometimes when I look at prompts or when I look into something or if I want to use a metaphor or I want to learn about a prompt or write about it, I get so into learning about what I'm going to write about or something. I could go. Sometimes I don't even have time for the poem. I just spend the whole time of the trying to figure out and learning because I just like learning.
Jam packed full of facts.
So, what?
Jam packed full of facts.
Jam packed. Yeah, down the tube. Jam packed full of facts. I start on a tree video, and then I end on like baby kittens or something. I don't know, something crazy.
Yeah, my poems always start out with me going somewhere. I never know where my poem's going to end. I just start writing, and it ends up where it ends up. So this poem was a little bit longer than I want it to be because it was 282 words. And I was trying to make something real quick, but I couldn't find an ending spot, so I just kept writing.
Well, it's good. I enjoy it. You just keep doing that. Excellent.
All right.
And thank you. And Rack, if you have a poem that's in any way relatable or not, that's okay too. I want you to share something. Can you please let me know what it is? Message me or tell me, and I can find it and make sure it's in there. And I know that you have a topic, but the thing is that the topic isn't on the old. The old topic board rack isn't on the list, so I don't have that up for you because I can't find it in my draft, which means I'm going to need to find an old copy of your draft or we need to do something to talk about that later. That's why your show isn't up yet, but I still want you to plug your show, but the topic board's not up because I've lost the mainframe because it's not on in Team of Voices anymore. And I thought that I saved it in my private group, but I did not. So can you just tell us in your words what your next show is? Rack?
Rack drop.
No.
Okay,
all right.
Back.
He didn't drop.
Oh,
so
no.
Rack's next show. He did drop. Okay.
Right.
Rack's, I'll just plug it. Rack's next show is, I do have it. My heart may be broken, still it beats for you. So that is his topic, of course. It's a little bit of a broken heart scenario. And that is later in the month. Huh? Sweet.
Wow.
Oh.
I didn't say anything.
All right. So that is on the 15th. So on the 15th, and I believe he goes on at 11, and it's My Heart May Be Broken, Still It Bleeds For You. So on the 15th, go join Rack with Broken Hearts Bleed. And Sweet Pea, are you ready?
I am. I didn't pick a
All
picture
right.
for it, but I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay.
You ready for my silly banyan tree?
I don't have a link.
Fairy
yet.
Tree. I know.
Okay.
I'm
I need a link.
To you.
Okay.
I know you need a link. I'm bringing it to you. Do you want it on the board? All right. I'll put it in your really random stuff. I'll give it to you first. So I'll talk about what I learned. Okay. So this is what I learned. First, there's more than 750 species of the banyan tree, and it's actually a fig tree. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's pollinated by its own species of tiny wasps that breed only inside the figs of their partner tree. So a teeny tiny wasp is actually what pollinates these huge trees. Otherwise, you'd only have banyan trees in banyan trees, in banyan trees. So they actually are pollinated by these teeny tiny wasps. I don't know how, but they are. So banyans are strangler figs. They grow from seeds that land on other trees. Okay? They're the world's biggest trees in terms of the areas they cover. The largest tree is in India. It covers 4.7 acres and can shelter 20,000 people. They're called ecological linchpins. They produce a vast crop of figs that sustain many species of birds, fruit bats, primates, and other creatures, and they then disperse the seeds of hundreds of other plant species. First Europeans encountered the banyan tree was Alexander the Great, who reached India in 326 BCE. Then they took those notes back to Theo Paracelsus, and I know I butchered that, who was the first founder of modern botany, and the first poet to ever mention it was the English poet John Milton, who wrote Paradise Lost, that Adam and Eve made their first clothes from the banyan tree in Paradise Lost. So I thought that was interesting. The banyan tree has been used for sources of medicine. And today in Nepal, people use the banyan tree bark and roots to treat more than 20 disorders. The Hindus have more than, for over more than 2,500 years, describe the banyan tree as the world's tree, growing the roots upside down towards the heavens, and its trunk branches reach to the earth to bring blessings to humanity. Let's see. And
also they say,
during the oh, go ahead, Mike.
They also said Adam and Eve was made their first clothing out of the tree leaves. So that's kind of a kind
right.
of
right. That's and that was from the poet John Milton in Paradise Lost. Yeah, and then the Hawaii has banyan trees, and they were planted for Franklin D. Roosevelt, Richard Nixon, Emily Earhart, and Louis Armstrong. And one of the horror things of the banyan trees during India's struggle for independence from Britain, because it was India's national tree, Britain. The British hung hundreds of rebels to their deaths from the banyan tree.
Ooh.
So I thought that was an interesting, horrible fact that Britain decided to hang the traitors from the actual banyan
Ooh,
tree.
Britain.
Yeah,
huh.
During the India struggle. So I learned a lot about the banyan tree.
Sweet Pea,
yes.
You get an A++ in the Sky West Dark Home Study Program.
Thank you.
absolutely brilliant. I think you taught me more than my video taught people. That was really good. I love it.
Thank you.
I wrote a song about
it. Now, I wrote a silly little poem. Has nothing to do with any of that.
Okay. I love it. I love it anyway.
Oh, you didn't put my poem on the board.
Oh, no. I thought you were. All right. Oh, no. I see you put it in the topic.
No,
oh,
I can do it.
I just put it. I'm so fast.
You are all about,
so
I got to have a link, and I put the link up for you.
You don't even know look at how fast that was.
That it was. So I wrote this poem, has nothing to do with it, but I wrote the fairy tree. When wizards and dragons ruled land and sky, fairies devised a plan to hide in trees and stay alive. A tree called banyan seed planted as wings fly high. Clans gathered, spells and wishes were stirred and passed. The banyan tree would last as centuries passed, and underground trails of feet would hold steadfast. Mystical powers are entwined in leaves, bark that creates medicine that heals and relieves. Botanists ponder and fools soon believe. Protector of beings on nature's streets, the anger of rain and blister of heat, the banyan shades both man and beast. End poem.
I love it. This is like something I would do. I would do pages and pages of information, of real information, and then write a fantastical poem. Something I would totally do. So I really approve. I loved it. I love how you bring in wizards and dragons rule the land and sky. So, of course, you know me well. I do like the fantasy realm. I always tell myself, I've been trying to read some historical fiction, some historical books, because I've realized that I read too much fantasy, and I've been trying to thread in some reality into my reading, which is hard because I always go to fantasy, of course. So you had me at wizards and dragons and fairies. You had me at hello with those three things. Of course, you bring in the banyan tree, the seed planted as wings fly high. I can really picture this, the thing about any type of flower or reproducing things. So they get replanted so many different places by the migration of different animals. Well, so I love the fact that you actually say these fairies and the dragons, the fairies are kind of spreading the seeds around for them to grow in different places. Of course, I'm going to just go through almost everything, I think. I'm sorry, Wayne. I might have to steal every sample. But they gathered the bringing in the spells and the wishes again, because the trees are so magical. And as you well know, I love trees. And basically, when I went to England, I was taking a whole bunch of pictures of trees. And my friends, and I was posting them. And my friends are like, did you really just go to another country to go look at trees? Aren't you going anywhere else? And I'm like, no, listen, my friend knows me. She's taking me to a lot of woods and a lot of wooded area because she knows that I love trees. And the one thing I love about them is that they're so magical to me. They have a sense of magic. So, again, I love how you brought in the witches and the spells and the mystics. And then, of course, you bring in the reality of they can be helpful, too. And a lot of trees are helpful in medicines. So I like how you put that little bit of realistic information in there. Really, really well done. I loved the piece. I loved the fantasy part of it. And I loved how much background work you did in learning. And I love how, just like me, sometimes I can spend, you know, a very long time looking up factual information, and then I write a poem about fantasy. That often happens, believe it or not. Excellent, excellent piece. And
oh, I thank you.
I'm sorry. Oh, we've got him back.
Yeah, I almost came. I came back almost right away. Well, took me forever to dial.
I was engulfed. I did plug your show, just so that you know. I mean, you can replug it if you want to after Sweet Pea's comments, but I did plug it. But do you want to make the first comment on Sweet Pea's poem?
Oh yeah, she was very thorough. She gave a ton of information, but the poem was the highlight because like you said, she brought the fantasy and the fairies. I think she did an amazing job with it. I think there were just what was it? Oh damn it! There was two things that you didn't mention that I wanted to bring out. One of them you may have said about the other thing they do with the banyan tree, like most trees, they make paper out of them. That's another common use for the banyan tree. Also in India, they named the three parts of the tree after three different gods. The roots were named after one of them, the trunk after another, and I think the leaves after Shiva the Destroyer. I don't remember the names of the three of them, but that was the only other thing I think that you didn't mention that I gleaned from all those stupid videos. You did a great job, Sweet. But again, your story was what was really amazing about it.
Thank you.
Excellent comment. And Wayne?
Yes, I think you did a wonderful job here, Sweet. We got to start being speed writers because we started our poems by the time the show started. So you did a great job there for this little time you had. And I enjoyed the poem. I typed a better comment, but my keyboard broke. I'm even has to mark another word, so I can't really write out a comment, but I did the best I could. Great poem. Great job on this. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
And that tree you mentioned in the Botanic Garden in India is also the oldest tree. It's over 200 years old.
Wow.
You guys really know your
trees.
That's
crazy. Are you not the only one that likes trees?
I know. I hope I'm not the only one that likes trees.
And there's tree of...
I wish I could be a tree.
And there's what? There's what?
There's tree of us. There's three of us. Me,
oh,
Wayne, and Sweet Pea.
There's three of us.
He's so clever, you know. All right, Brad, I need you to find me a poem. And by find me, I mean think of one that I can look up on your page and tell me. And I will put it up for you. In the meantime, before we go really in a crazy direction, I want to talk a little, because we talked about, nobody wrote to the third prompt, so we talked about the banyan tree. We wrote about the snake. I just want to talk a little bit about the third prompt because I'm not going to bring it back, but I do want to talk about it. What do you guys think about volcano surfing?
You could be hot.
You found another use for an ironing board.
Would you do it? Would you not? Volcano surfing.
No.
Volcano board is performed on the slopes of a volcano. One of the most popular places for this activity is Cerro Negro near Leon. And that's where Wayne was talking about. Yep, so that's
right.
How you brought in the Leon prompt. It wasn't, it was this one. And riders hike up the volcano and slide down, sitting or standing on a thin plywood of metal board. The sport is also practiced on certain mountains. I'm not going to go into everyone, in Indonesia. Volcano surfing can be an extreme sport, potentially dangerous, including falling or getting cut from rough volcanic ash, breathing in poisonous gases, having cavers disease, and, of course, being hit by flying molten lava. So what do you think? Are you guys in or out? Some people are in, so I don't put it past me.
You gotta slide down the walk down.
Nah, I'll leave my ironing board to the laundry.
All right, so Rax it out. Wayne?
I'm in. I'm in. I'm sliding.
Yeah. Wayne's in. He's going for it. Sweet. Sweet drops. Sweet doesn't get a choice. Okay. So, Sweet. Oh, my goodness. Sweet. She can't leave now. I'm going to have to yell at her.
All right. She saw a snake.
So.
She's so sweet.
So what I was going to say was that since all the poems are read, I am now going to open it up to really random stuff, whatever you guys want to share with me. And I was going to have let you guys go another round. I was looking for a poem about a tree that I have, but I can't find it. But I'm going to still keep looking. And, I'll still keep looking. Until then, do you guys have anything else that you want to share? Brack, did you think of one?
Did you ever read Organ Grinder's Monkey?
I don't know, but I will certainly go look. What is this? Organ Grinder's Monkey?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones that I did.
Okay. Do you have a SoundCloud for it?
Yes.
Or am I going to be, it's going to be up to me. Okay, all right.
No, there's an audio.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to load that up into the studio. In the meantime, do you have another poem, Wayne, that you want to share?
Yeah, one of
them. We're on round two. This is really random stuff. So it could be. So you've already shared the poem that you wrote for me. As long as it's rated PG-13, we are good. And I usually have the prompts up for next month, but like last month, I failed at this duty because I've been just running around too much. I did read this one, Rack. I can still put it on, though. Do you want me to still put it on? I obviously don't remember it quite well if I didn't know the name. Probably when you start reading it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's usually what happens. So is this one still okay?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's one of my favorites. No death and destruction, just heartbreak. And peanuts. There's peanuts. My phone died again, didn't it? Really?
I'm on mute. I've been talking this whole time, and I'm on mute. Thank God you're here, Rack. Wayne, I was on mute, and nobody heard me say this, but Wayne, you're going to go first, because I have to upload Rack into the studio.
Oh, I was going to have a SoundCloud on mine, too. So I wouldn't have to read.
Yeah, but we like when you read, Wayne.
Oh, I bet you do. As fast as I read, you must love it. I'll find one I can read. Let me see if it.
Okay, all right. Well, I can't believe I was just on mute. You guys are probably like, what's happening right now?
Yeah.
All right, well, this is uploading. I'm going to drop mine because I'm ready to go. And I'm just going to read you something I just wrote because I was looking for my tree poem. But I don't have it, so I'm just going to share what I wrote tonight. Like right before the show.
Do you have an Alex Haley poem?
No.
Okay.
I don't know if I get that reference.
She wrote Roots.
Oh. A dust of earthy browns and vanishing golds and the reeds of sunset. And it's for Deb's contest. She's got some cool pick and art prompts. contest out. She has a few of them, and they're brevities, which I'm not good at, and I often go over, and it's very stressful for me, but I still did it. I ended up having to cut some words, but I think it went okay, just so that I can get to 99 exactly. It was like cut and paste over here. But she's got some really cool artwork in these contests. She does a lot of them. I think this is, she's up to her fifth in her 50s in these pick a prompt. I'm not sure, but she's done a lot of them. I want to say she's up to her 50s. But so this is for hers. It is called, I just said, A Dust of Earthy Browns and Vanishing Golds in the Reeds of Sunset by Sky Darkholm. Two mallards wade in Peterborough's brook, these sun-glow silks of amber reeds, a cloud sky of jumping salmon and blue-laced breaths that whisk lavender spruce. They splash ripple rings that edge fields of green, those drifting meadows of Queen Anne's lace and star flower stalks. There's a blanket of almond roots that settles like dust on scenic brow, a varnish of woodpine champagne, earthy browns and vanishing golds that linger where sharper pigments once woke. Now sleepy-eyed, furled in evening's bow, they bid adieu and welcome their shades of night, while two mallards wade in Peterborough's brook. End poem.
That was cool. So you had roots in there, you had pine in there, you had all kinds of tree branches.
I just love it. It comes in when I don't even mean it to.
See? It's random.
Great job with the prompt.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you.
I like mallards.
Thank you, Rack.
Yeah, for upper four, picture prompt poem.
I had a duck poem too. That would have been funny.
I love ducks. I really love ducks. I don't know why. I don't know. I know they're kind of dirty, like birds. I just really love ducks. I could just go duck watching for long periods of time and be happy.
Yeah, so someone on the site was missing when COVID hit. They used to go visit the pond near their mother's house, and they had a contest about a duck that they used to see that kind of disappeared.
Oh.
So I like jumped on that and. I stole the gold.
All right, good job.
Ah, well, maybe we'll have time for a duck poem. All right, so Rack is in the studio and Wayne is on the board. So, Wayne, you could read first, and then we'll put up Rack.
This is a poem I wrote a few days ago, and I really hadn't read it much either, but it's a picture prompt poem. If you look at the picture, you'll see it was kind of difficult to write to, but this is what I got out of it. It goes like this. I have to be me. Look in the mirror, I can't recognize. Looks like I'm wearing a disguise. Changed my appearance so many ways, most of the lives have turned to grays. I want to be someone you admire, now grown old and feeling tired. We'll do whatever it would take. I'd even try to turn into a snake. What you would like if I could fly? You didn't notice when I was a butterfly. Tried to be a tiger with all the spots, but I ended up tied in several knots. Once I became a fish at sea, you didn't pay any attention to me. Changed into an extinct dinosaur. Now that it wasn't what you were looking for. Now turn into a mangled mess. What I am, you have to guess. And if I can, I'm going back. I can't be what you like, Ian.
Excellent. I love it. I love it. All right. There's so many things I love about this because obviously the picture is very abstract and you can kind of see it through a lens of a bigger message and meaning behind the piece where. You know, some people, we kind of want to change for them to be what they want. And you did this in a very fantastical way, of course, turning into the tiger and turning into the dinosaur and, you know, turning into all these different creatures, the butterfly, the snake. And even though that is so fantastical, it is a very real meaning behind it and unfortunately, a reality for many people trying to fit into other people's lives or fit into other people's expectations, you know, and say, oh, I can change for you. Well, no, I really can't. Now I've jumped through hoops. I've done all these things for you, and I'm still not what you want. I'm still not in there. There's something to be said there. I also thought it was wonderfully clever that the entire poem rhymes, trying to figure out this what to be for somebody else. And then the last two lines, you drop it on a flat note, and it doesn't rhyme. If I can, I am going back. I can't be what you like, period. There's no catch rhyme. So when you're even in that purposeful, which I'm assuming it was purposeful, even in that purposeful two line end note, you expect that line catch, but you don't, and it creates a flat note and a tone that ends the poem that pretty much says, I'm done. I'm done now. I can't be what you like. I'm not going to try to rhyme anymore. I'm not going to try to fit into your whatever that you need or you think you need. And I really like the ending on the flat note. I can't tell you how much I like that. Really, really well done. Thank you for sharing this one. And
I know those people that you're just describing, that, you know, they try and fit in, they try and be all things to all people, I'm trying to remember in the middle of your poem, though, if you said stripes or the tiger, or did you mention spots?
Yeah, the tiger spot.
Leopards have spots, not tigers, dude. You broke my brain. Okay, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Tigers have stripes. Leopards have spots.
Oh, I'll be damned. I did get that wrong there. I'm sorry, but I should put a leopard in there.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be really honest with you. I like that it says spots, because it's so crazy. How can a tiger, all these things that you're expecting to be are unrealistic. So the idea of a tiger having spot is even more unrealistic, showing them bending over backwards. So I almost kind of like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could be by myself in them. But I almost kind of like it that way.
It's just my asymmetrical brain sometimes. It has to fit. And otherwise, I'm warped. Believe me, I'm warped. I agree with your idea that it's not just you don't just want me to be a tiger. You want me to be a tiger with spots.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like honestly, you don't only want me to be these things, but you want me to be these things that don't even exist. That's so ridiculous. I almost like it that way. I wouldn't say I almost like it that way. I actually like it that way. It makes you take a double take too. Like, you even hearing it, you held on to it. You're like, wait a minute.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
You broke my brain. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
and it's funny too. The metaphor that you're capturing is pretty much the same thing that I wrote to in the poem that I picked.
All right. Yeah, but if you look at that picture, you can see all the animals in that picture. If you got a little imagination, you can almost see all the animals in it. That's where I got where I was getting the animals from, was looking at the picture and saying, I see a snake, I see a butterfly, I see a dinosaur. Picture all the animals in the picture, but you got to have a good imagination.
It's a rush test.
Yeah, I think I see a giraffe.
I was going to use it, but couldn't get another arm of a giraffe.
Because Wayne has a long, beautiful neck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, what the heck?
I can see. Oh, my gosh. You guys are on a rhyming roll. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Wayne, for that share.
Thank you.
And I bookmarked it so that I could comment later. All right. This is Rackin' Tour. I didn't check the audio because I just put it in, so I hope it's okay. and I hope that I can find. Oh, there it is. Okay, so here we go.
Organ Grinder's Monkey by Raconteur. Every day, I wake up alone, asking myself if breathing means that I'm blessed or cursed, craving human contact, feeling as if my chest is about ready to burst. My life has always been a performance, dancing to an organ grinder's tune, revealing myself for people's amusement, deluded I can make anyone care, or heaven forbid, swoon. Emptiness has become a way of life, isolated from the world I know, clinging desperately to what's left of my sanity, remnants of what seems a lifetime ago. The people I meet throw peanuts at my feet, and I smile, pretending everything's all right, counting the seconds until I close my eyes, not caring if I make it through another night. End poem.
Why do you always get to break my heart with these Hurt Locker poems? I did remember it when I started reading. I remembered it because of the metaphor. Oh, my goodness. When I wrote, I think I wrote here, when one hides pain so deeply behind a smile and laughs, this brought ache to my heart. And this was a year ago. This was a year ago that I had commented on. And congratulations on the front page pick. This was beautifully sad, of course. When you talk about speaking, you know, my life has always been a performance, dancing to an organ grinder tune. When you think of all those moments that we walk by and people are like, hey, how are you doing? You don't even reflect inside yourself about how you're doing. You know how you're doing, but that's not what you present to the world. Someone walks by you and you're like, hey, how are you doing? You smile and you wave and you say, good, how are you? You don't stop them and say, listen, this is, all these things are happening, you know. You put on that performance piece. And then there's also those moments that perhaps, you know, even with certain friends or family, you know, you put on that, you know, perhaps it's for reasons, you know, it's hard for you to show yourself vulnerable. Perhaps it's because they're leaning on you so much that you don't feel like you can quite lean on them back. Or perhaps, you know, it's a thing of trust. And maybe it's even, you know, you don't even want to talk about it because it will send you in a spiral at that moment. And you just have to ignore it just to be able to survive it. And that kind of, that can be very, it can be very deep-seated when somebody is just, they're like something or a subject makes them so upset that they just rather put it away and deal with it when they're alone than deal with it when they're with people because they don't want to share it with anybody else. This was profound. And again, the Hurt Locker always kind of breaks my heart. And it's done wonderfully, but it does break my heart. Really, really well done.
Thanks, Sky.
You could always peanuts at my feet. This is a very clever metaphor. I like when people bring in unique metaphors and when they write poetry in such a way, and especially when it's an extended metaphor. I do like small metaphors, but I like when there's a larger metaphor throughout the piece that keeps threading and lacing it through. So really, really well done. And Wayne, what do you think?
Yes, I've heard this before. It's a great poem. It's every person alive has been through the thoughts of having wonderful love that's left them or not, and going to be forever alone. I'm not sure if the feeling of living without love is worth living for. So he's got all the points about being sad and alone, out in the open. And I've been there before where I thought that nobody cared anything about me and I'm just hanging out there by myself. So thank God I have a cat. So very good point. Very good point, Rick. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, Sway.
Excellent. You know, when it's a good poem, it doesn't matter how many times you hear it. It's always good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want me to read your duck poem, Rack?
If you want. It's got a bit of humor to it, so I think you'll like how it ends.
I read the last line. I'm like one of those evil people that read the last line before they read the poem. So they're like, you get a new book and you read the last page. I just did that.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope I can do it justice. Do you want me to read it or Wayne to do it? Wayne has a good humor voice.
No,
I can try. He doesn't
want to
read it. I don't want to read it. Okay. I'm going to read it. All right. I'm going to read it. And I didn't pre-read this. So please forgive me, Rack. You know, I can't read drive or anything.
Fine.
All right. Here we go. All right. This is Call. I'm going to try my best. Thinking of you and Wayne. Find one more poem for me while I'm reading this, but pay attention at the same time. I'm so demanding.
I can do that.
Thinking of you, Red, by Raconteur. That's what it sounds. Where have you gone, Red? Don't you know you are my favorite Drake? I used to love to hang out with you when I would sit visit Mom near your home at the park on the lake. Not seeing you is driving me daffy. My mind is playing tricks, wondering where it is you've gone. Did you find work doing voiceovers on some late-night cartoon? You know the ones that are always so poorly drawn. Or maybe you got into a fight while getting your hair done. Hanging with cartoon characters can get you into a fix. They act one way on the screen, but in real life, they can be such pricks. I just hope you don't run away with some gold-digging hen. They think they can wrap you around their wings just because they look like a 10. They have such expensive tastes, and when it comes to shopping, they never get their fill. Sure, heads will turn when you're with them. But when it comes time to pay, they always smile and say, put it on his bill. So I hope you're safe and sound because I really hate that you had to depart. I think of you every time I visit the lake, in the park, and sometimes even when I hear someone fart and poem. I'm sorry, I was just laughing in between because it's so clever. It's so clever. I had a smile on my face. Not seeing you is driving me daffy, like Daffy Duck.
Is
Drake something that I missed? Is that a pun I missed, Drake, before I move forward with the rest of the poem?
That's just the male duck. I didn't make any pun with the Drake, but the hair was because Daffy.
Oh wait, no, don't tell me. Hold on. Don't tell me what the puns are because I'm gonna say which ones I liked, and then if I missed any, you could tell me, okay? Because I did get the hair one. What were you gonna say, Rack?
No, that was what I was gonna say because you paused when you hit air. I figured you got it.
Yeah, because I was trying not to laugh while I was doing it. All right, I love the shout out to Daffy Duck and doing voiceovers and the late night cartoons. Absolutely brilliant. I'm probably gonna miss some of them, but of course at the where was it? Right here. You'll always say, put it on his bill, like a duck bill. But It's a bill, like a dollar bill. Oh, my goodness. There were so many things in here that were so funny. I thought this was wonderfully clever. And again, wait, where's the hair one? Where is the hair? I can't find it now.
When they're fighting, it's just above when they were fighting.
Right, oh, yeah. Or maybe you got into a fight while getting your hair done. H-A-R-E for people that are listening. Because everything's quite clever in here. This was fun. I thought it was really fun. And congratulations on the gold, of course. Wonderfully creative. And, again, the wordplay was such a great tongue-in-cheek humor. And I was trying hard not to laugh while I was reading it. Kudos to you. Wayne, what do you think?
I like when people use wordplay in their poems. And I think it's great. This is a great poem, and the ending was great. I once had a duck that I used to pet. This is great, and with my duck, I would pick while it played with my feet. So anyway, so this will be a off the wall humor. Anyway, that's a great poem. I enjoyed it. It was lovely.
Did you meet your duck on the web?
Oh my gosh! He can't help himself. What were you gonna say, Brack? Before
I'm evil. You said it was duck that I used to pet.
Right, you started to say something before. What was it?
I don't know. I was probably going to make another joke about something.
All right, Wayne. You're up.
Okay. And I just want to pick that up on. This poem is supposed to have a deep meaning to it, but I don't know if anybody ever got on to the meaning, but it's called Glad to Meet You. It goes like this. Walking down the beach, I saw a diamond in the sea. Only a bottle with a note made out to me. Said, don't you know who you are? I don't know who you are or where from. But I'm looking at this just like you. Sounds dumb. All my life I've been looking before what? Couldn't get satisfied for what I got. With a piece of paper and pen, I wrote this note to the ocean from my boat. Then we don't have to look anymore since the bottle came ashore. He was right. I no longer felt alone. I threw the bottle back to sea and walked home. Yeah? We're always looking for something we don't know what we're looking for, and so you already got everything you need, so you might as well just go back home. That's what forms about.
Message in a bottle.
That's very true, yeah. I wasn't quite thinking that. This is an excellent piece, and it is very short in its script saying, in its message saying, you know, there's always that thing, too. Once you have something, you always want more and more. And no matter how much more you have, you'll never be satisfied if you just keep looking for more. Or in this term, sometimes we think we're missing something and we're reaching for something, and yet, you know, we've had it all along, and we don't need to be searching, and we can just go home and kind of be settled and be thankful in the things we have. Thinking of that bottle half full instead of half empty, and looking at the day and a new perspective, with a new perspective, saying, okay, I have, look at all the things I do have rather than all the things I don't have or need to find. So I thought it was wonderfully done to that message. And, they're like, yeah, I think, go home and be happy.
You got the meaning down perfect. It was perfect comment because that's what it's all about, just what you said. Perfect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I do try. Zach, what do you think?
I think I want to hang out with Wayne because, you know, I know I'll be happy. And there'll be beer.
I don't know about it. Did you hear the nickname that I gave, that we gave, not just me, that we gave?
I was calling him a killer. I was calling him a killer long before you guys did.
maybe we can go boating with him, just not camping. I don't know. I don't remember any boat ones.
Oh, no.
The last poem I wrote was about a boat, and I had Lady A with me. She died. The last poem I wrote about Lady A.
Oh, okay, never mind. No boating.
As a matter of fact, That would be an interesting bit of AP trivia. Who's got the higher body count, Wayne or CP?
Oh, my gosh.
I think they could go toe-to-toe.
I know. Someone's going to have to start making a tally. And Black, I interrupted you a little bit. Did you want to say anything else to further your comment?
No.
Or were you all set? Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, that was football, Wayne. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am a killer.
Thank you very much. We got Elvis in the building. All right, guys. So here's what's going to happen. I am going to say we have 45 minutes. We have 15 minutes left, and I have a long outro song.
Okay.
So I'm going to say my thank you and talk about my outro song, and then I'm going to close out for the night. So I do want to say thank you to Sweet Pea, to Stephen and Deb, and, of course, Rackentor and Wayne for all calling, for writing, and for taking part in tonight and bringing me lots of poems and really random stuff, which I love.
It's been fun.
We were barking up the wrong tree.
Barking up the wrong tree. You're so quick. Sometimes I don't know how you think that quick. So thank you guys all. I loved all the stuff, and I hope to see you guys next month, the second Tuesday of the month, 8 p.m., for another Down the Tube episode. And sticking with the February theme, I opened up with the Air Supply. You missed Air Supply, Rack. But we were just, Rack and I were just singing Air Supply very poorly to each other. the February is the month of love, I guess. And I was feeling in the mood for some lovey-dovey things. So we opened up with Air Supply, making love out of nothing at all. And I am going to close out and... I realize that on Thursday they just had a really fun night with Meatloaf. And, of course, he thought everybody's on mind. But whenever I listen to Making Love Out of Nothing at All from Air Supply, I always, almost always follow it up with Meatloaf. So it is a coincidence that just perfectly fits in today. Yeah, not that one. We're closing out with I Will Do Anything for Love. And, of course, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Meatloaf. So Meatloaf, or Michael Lee Adey, born Marvin Lee Adey, was born September 27th, 1947, and died January 20th, 2022, which most people, have heard about by now. Known professionally as Meatloaf, was an American singer and actor. He was noted for his powerful wide-range voice and theatrical live shows. He is on the list of best-selling music artists. His Bat Out of Hell trilogy, Bat Out of Hell 1977, Bat Out of Hell 2, Back into Hell 1993, and Bat Out of Hell 3, The Monster is Loose 2006, has sold more than 65 million albums worldwide. The first album stayed on the charts for over 9 years. Still sells an estimated 200,000 copies annually and is in the list of best-selling albums. After the commercial success of Bat Out of Hell and Bat Out of Hell 2, Back into Hell, and earning a Grammy Award for Best Solo Rock Vocal Performance for the song I'd Do Anything for Love, which is the one that we are featuring, Adey nevertheless experienced some difficulty establishing a steady career within the United States. The key to his success was his popularity in Europe, especially in Great Britain and Ireland. With him receiving in 1994's Brit Award in the United Kingdom for best-selling album and single, he appeared in the 1997 film Spice World, and he ranked 23rd for his number of weeks spent on the UK charts in 2006. And he ranked 96th on the VH1 charts, 100th greatest artists of hard rock. He also, don't forget, appeared in many other things, but he appeared in Rocky Horror Picture Show, so we can't forget that. And so I hope you guys had fun. I am going to play the song, and I'm going to put myself on mute because I have a habit of belting this one out. So thank you, guys.
I'll give you a dollar if you don't put yourself on mute.
You're welcome.
Oh, no, it's terrible. You don't even want to hear it right now, especially my voice is like
$2.
You could hear it. It's right, it's going. My voice is going. I don't know what I did to it, but it's going a little bit. all right, guys.
Do you love me? Will you love me forever? Do you need me? Never leave me. Make me so happy for the rest of my life. Take me away and make me your life. Oh, I know right now.
Do you love me? No one's going to finish that? Do you love me forever? What are you guys doing? Can't break out in a song and then stop. It's midway. All right.
Wayne proved in his poem that you can.
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah. All right, guys.
Thank you. Make sure that's Jeff.
Thank you, Wayne.
Anything you've been won't do.
Will you
raise
me up? Will you help me down? Will you get me right out of this godforsaken town? Will you make it all a little less cold? I can do that.
Oh my gosh, absolutely amazing. I just love him. All right, good night, guys.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Not a minute to spare. Thank you, guys. I hope you enjoyed it.
Have a great time. Great time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Nightwing, nice guy.
Good night.